This is News Extra. In-depth coverage of the day's top stories. News Radio 610. WIOD.
It's 6:13. Good afternoon. I'm Aaron Bender. It's been a little over a week since photos surfaced of U.S. soldiers allegedly abusing Iraqi prisoners. Now, several American servicemen and women face possible courts-martial. Joining us to talk about the legal process this afternoon on News Extra is Richard Travis, partner in the Colorado Springs firm Anderson & Travis and a former member of the Army's JAG Corps. Thanks for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome. How are you?
Not too bad. Appreciate the time. This is no longer just an investigation into alleged abuse of Iraqi prisoners, now also prisoners in Afghanistan, 14 prisoner deaths. President Bush promises a full investigation. What will that include?
Well, from the soldier's perspective, the investigation usually will start off with the Criminal Investigation Division, that's CID, and the Army. And they'll investigate the allegations and report back to a soldier's chain of command. So, for instance, if they, the Sergeant Frederick, if he was also investigated by CID, they report back to his command and then recommend as far as what the result of their investigation and the charges should be preferred. And that really starts to be in the ball of the trial counsel who will review the allegations that CID has made and then make the recommendation to the chain of command whether they should go forward with those charges. And then once the charges are preferred, in essence, the trial counsel will draft the charges up, give them to the company commander. He signs off on the charges and then it goes through the chain of command. Given the level of seriousness here, they would then likely forward them to an Article 32 officer, and his job is to investigate preliminary whether there is probable cause for the charges to go forward. And if he makes that determination, then likely a general court-martial will be convened.
And from beginning to that point that you got to just there with the court-martial being intervened, what's the timeline there? What's the time frame?
Well, it really depends upon how prepared the government is and how prepared the defense is. So, for instance, an Article 32 hearing can occur within anywhere through a week to 2 weeks of a preferral of charges. We represent soldiers, and there's sometimes when the complexity of the case requires us to seek a continuance, and the convening authority can delay it for an indefinite period of time. That usually, though, within about 2 or 3 months of the charges being preferred, we would have a Article 32 hearing.
And you've been on both sides, defense and prosecution. Take
Correct.
Us through the defense process at this point. What is a defense attorney preparing to do?
Well, what the defense wants is all the discovery it can possibly get. So, for instance, I would want the CID files, but I also want to know whether there was any internal investigation that either the chain of command did or, let's say, the Department of Defense did. I'd want copies of all of that. And so, for instance, if I was the defense attorney in this case, I would delay the 32 out far enough so that I can be satisfied that I have as much information as possible. And that gives me the opportunity to cross-examine the government's witness, present my own witnesses, because at the 32, what you're trying to do is not only identify whether there's probable cause to the case to proceed, but you want to create a record so that the commander, which is usually the General Court-Martial Convening Authority, when they review this, they make the determination whether or not the charges will go to a general court-martial. So in this particular case, where the defense, from reading the news articles, appears to be that they were inadequately trained, that they were following orders, what I'd want to demonstrate is that just that. They weren't trained, they were following orders. And even though following orders may not be a technical legal defense, it might be enough to persuade the general court-martial convening authority that prosecuting the enlisted soldiers, we're talking about sergeants and specialists, is really not in the military's best interest. That what we ought to be focusing on are the people that established this policy.
We're talking with Richard Travis, partner in the Colorado Springs firm Anderson & Travis. He's also a former member of the Army's JAG Corps. Because this is a military investigation, not a civilian case, will we, Joe Public, ever get the facts?
Sure. We represent Staff Sergeant Pagani. He was a soldier charged with cowardice, and I think the public has been able to get access to those facts. And so what would happen here is, for instance, at the Article 32 hearing, the convening authority has the discretion to make it a closed or open hearing. If he makes it a closed hearing, then the public is sort of left out. But if it's an open hearing, then the media members will be able to attend.
Now, Martha Frederick, you mentioned Sergeant Chip Frederick a few minutes ago. Martha Frederick is his wife. Sergeant Frederick is accused of abusing, humiliating Iraqi prisoners. Now let's listen to something she told ABC News about her husband.
He told me that there were things going on that he could not talk to me on the telephone, nor could he write it in an email.
Now let's assume for the sake of conversation she's talking about this, or that he's talking about this alleged abuse. He and several others face those possible courts martial. Can comments relayed to reporters like this one be brought up in court?
Certainly the comments can be brought up if, for instance, the soldier's trying to establish the defense that he tried to do something about this. And the comment that, the fact that he made that to his wife, would show that his state of mind at the time this was happening was he was trying to bring these charges forward to the command and they weren't listening to him. And I would focus heavily on that defense, because then it really puts the command in a position where they have to justify why they did not follow this soldier's either advice or concerns about what was happening. And sort of makes it hypocritical that they now want to court-martial him.
And what about, let's go back to that defense of just following orders. Why is that not always a valid defense?
Because if the order itself is unlawful, it's not a defense to follow it. In Vietnam, they had the My Lai massacre. In some of the Nazi concentration camps, the people were charged with war crimes because the defense, they couldn't assert the defense of following a lawful order because the order itself was not lawful.
And how often is a court-martial successful from the military standpoint, from the prosecution standpoint?
Oh, I'd say about 70% of the cases are, if not higher, are convictions.
And it's just a matter of by the time it gets to that point, there's just overwhelming evidence?
Well, it's part of the evidence, but also the sheer number of cases brought to a court-martial are lower than the civilians. And so normally the cases that are brought to court-martial, the evidence is usually there to convict someone. However, in a case like this, where now you have political considerations, you really can't look at it from a statistical standpoint, because obviously there's political pressure to try these people. This case has been in the media, and there's an outcry about how the prisoners were treated. And so there's pressure on the military to prosecute these people. And so the concern could be is that they're not necessarily prosecuting it because, at least the lower enlisted, the people I've seen, is because the interest of justice dictate to, but more so that the atmosphere is such that they have to do it. So those are the kind of cases where you might have a higher rate of acquittals than you normally would.
Richard Travis, partner in the Colorado Springs firm Anderson & Travis and a former member of the Army's JAG Corps, appreciate the time this afternoon on News Extra.
You're welcome.